Now, we turn it over to Bill Resnick and Caitlin Day. Bill?
Hi, Caitlin Day. Welcome to KABU and the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Hi, Bill. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Caitlin Day is a community organizer, started out here in Portland organizing and leading the Portland State University Student Union, wrote as her thesis at Portland State, fighting back against criminalization of the homelessness. She is now organizing with Stop the Sweep here in Portland and the Western Regional Advocacy Project. She's leading the struggle in Portland with several others against the criminalization of the homeless here, particularly in the business district. So, Caitlin Day, what are those enhanced service districts, also called business improvement districts? The downtown enhanced service district is known as Clean and Safe. You've named it Dirty and Dangerous. Tell us why the city set them up and why they're so objectionable.
Yeah, absolutely. So enhanced services districts are Portland's local version of business improvement districts, as you said. Business improvement districts exist in almost every major city in the United States. Essentially, what they are is they're geographically bounded districts where all of the property owners within that district are required to pay a fee, which is then funneled to a business organization who can use that to provide additional services within that area. However, those services are often hiring private security who patrol in public space, as well as contracts with the Portland Police Bureau for extra officers. Sometimes they contract with the district attorney's office for prosecution services. And ultimately, all of these services are targeting unhoused people within those districts, trying to push them out of public space. So Clean and Safe is the downtown ESD. We have three of them in Portland. There's also the Lloyd District in the Central East Side. Clean and Safe is the longest running ESD and is also the largest. They have a budget of about $5 million annually. Over $3 million of that money goes to private security. So they are also managed by Portland Business Alliance, and a lot of the money from Clean and Safe is used to fund Portland Business Alliance's lobbying efforts, which often is lobbying against unhoused people and for more criminalization policies and just generally for large property owners and business interests.
Yeah, the Business Alliance and their board of directors, they're all property owners, and in fact, in voting on policy, my understanding is they get the votes are even proportioned according to the net worth of the commercial buildings that this interest owns. It's really bizarre. It's the wealthiest of the wealthy in Portland real estate who make public decisions, decisions which should be made in public in their own private rooms, and they don't even keep data, the whole operation, on what it's doing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So ESDs are very fundamentally undemocratic because it puts a lot of power into the property owners, like you were saying, and in particular, it's putting power into the largest property owners in downtown. So no property owners actually get to vote on the district. It is solely in the hands of city council. However, to terminate the district, it has to be an amount of people who petition to dissolve the district that make up 33% of the property value, which puts a lot of small property owners at a disadvantage, and they have way less of a say in keeping the district than larger property owners. So that's definitely a huge issue, as well as, like you were saying, a lot of things are happening behind closed doors, and there's very little oversight of these districts. There was an audit that was released in August 2020, which documented that enhanced services districts, since their inception really, have seen almost no oversight from the city of Portland. Really, the only thing the city of Portland has done, it has collected the fees and then distributed them to the business nonprofits, such as Portland Business Alliance. But they do not track the outcome. They do not track any complaints from private security officers. They're supposed to do that now since the audit came out, but there hasn't really been that much evidence for that. And we should find out more this coming August because the auditor's office will have to do a one-year review of the progress the city has made to meet the recommendations of the audit.
We do know something about what they're doing. It seems to be one important fact, which is hard to digest, that over 50% of police arrests in this town are of homeless people. And many, many of them are probably are for sure because they have all these police assigned there, and they also have their own private little court in some ways, the community, whatever it's called, the community court. But we should get into that. We do know one thing, that 50% of the, over 50% of the arrests in Portland are the homeless. Those police are doing, much of it is coming from the downtown. And we also know that the safe and clean, dirty and dangerous actually, that the people there assist in the police sweeps. And since they have sort of an open phone call to the police, there's no doubt that they initiate some of these sweeps. Am I wrong about that? Is that part of the way they operate?
Yeah, definitely. Really, there's no data on it because they don't collect that data, but definitely anecdotally, there are many people we've spoken to who have been asked to leave, and that has been by clean and safe security officers, and they've been harassed, and sometimes it can lead to arrests. The way their security program is set up is they contract with a private security company called Portland Patrol, Inc. That private security company allows for both armed and unarmed patrols in public space. And we really like to emphasize that these private security patrols are in public space on public sidewalks. That's very unique for private security. Oftentimes, they only patrol on private property. But with this contract, they are allowed to patrol on public sidewalks. And so not only do they have the private security, but they're also contracting with the Portland Police Bureau. They're directly funding four officers, but Portland Police Bureau also provides an additional two officers. So there's six officers within the Portland Police Bureau who are patrolling solely within the Clean and Safe District. And so not only are they doing that, but then they're being jointly supervised by the Central Precinct with the Portland Police Bureau, but also by Portland Patrol, Inc., and they share radio and dispatch and are always working in close coordination. And then there's also the Downtown Security Network, which is a monthly meeting. It's not open to the public, and it's a meeting between all the private security companies downtown, Portland Business Alliance, the District Attorney's Office, as well as Portland Police Bureau. So they're all coordinating with each other, business, police, private security, and working hand in hand. And it does contribute to the arrest of unhoused people. We've seen the arrest data, and although we can't establish causation yet, it is notable how many arrests are concentrated within the Clean and Safe District. And we really believe that has to do with the fact that there is a way larger security and police presence in downtown.
This is Cable Radio, your old mole hour. I'm talking to Caitlin Day with the group Stop the Sweep. And with the coalition End Clean and Safe that she calls Dirty and Dangerous, that coalition is attempting to end the criminalization of Portland's homeless. We've so far discussed how objectionable it is to have a few very rich downtown property owners running a private police force with no oversight or accountability, and they don't seem to, at least maybe until recently, keep data on their street encounters, their arrests. With that said, the question becomes, if Clean and Safe is eliminated, what should be done about homelessness, not just downtown, but across the city? Before that, Caitlin, Clean and Safe is funded by a contract with the city, and it can be ended by not renewing the contract. That contract comes up for renewal this fall. So right now, in current struggles, the End Clean and Safe Coalition is building forces for that, for persuading the city council to end that contract and begin this new chapter for dealing with homelessness. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, Clean and Safe has a 10-year contract, which is really ridiculous, actually. It's a very long contract, and it's up for renewal this year. It'll be another 10-year contract unless they decide to change that. So it's going to be up for vote on September 23rd, so we're gearing up for that right now. There's been a series of listening sessions that have happened. Most of the testimony at these listening sessions have been in opposition to the contract renewal. And the only reason these listening sessions have happened in the first place was because our coalition put out a set of demands, essentially asking the city of Portland to create a robust public process, because that's never happened in the past for these contract renewals. It typically happens behind closed doors. They vote for it in a city council meeting, and it's business as usual. And we didn't want that to happen. And so we're advocating for them to vote no on the contract. But if they are going to go forward with the contract, we want to see some major changes. And we put out a list of demands. the main ones to focus on is we are asking them to get rid of their private security contract, as well as getting rid of their contracts with the Portland Police Bureau and District Attorney's Office. And finally, we really want to see Portland Business Alliance taken out of the equation, both with Clean and Safe and really ESCs in general, because they use it to advance their lobbying, and it's just a very inappropriate use of public funds.
Ending the contract is the first step, but if the contract can be withheld, the city would be forced, including the downtown businessmen and the real estate moguls, to begin considering a humane, compassionate policy that might even reduce the problems of both the city and the homeless. It certainly is when it's been tried. So, Caitlin, let's get back to that. With Clean and Safe gone, homelessness will still be with us. We surely don't want more policing. We need a just transition. So what would that just transition look like? What should the city do to end homelessness?
It's definitely a very complicated topic, but at the baseline, to end homelessness, we need more housing. And that's definitely a larger discussion. But I think a lot of the immediate needs are really just allowing people to exist in public space. That's kind of the fundamental problem with these contracts, is people are not legally allowed to be in public space, which we find very inappropriate. So allowing space for people to be in public space, but also there are definitely major concerns of, like, we need more hygiene facilities. I think the pandemic really put that out on display, how important hygiene is. And it's good to see the city actually moving on it for once, but it's definitely not enough. So we would love to see more hygiene access, both in downtown, but all throughout Portland. And in regards to places for people to stay right now, we are a little worried with the city's proposals to create safe encampments, mainly because these are city-run, and we would like to see more peer-led and autonomous villages that are led by the people who live in the villages, instead of these encampments that are run by the city and nonprofits, and oftentimes people are being pushed into them. They don't have a lot of power. So really what it comes down to is really respecting the autonomy of people who are on the streets and giving them space to self-determine what they need, because it's going to differ from person to person. And right now it seems like the city, the county, and the state really see these kind of solutions as a one-size-fits-all. And also a lot of people don't want to look to unhoused people for answers and think that they have the answers and they can just tell people what to do and how to help them. But that's just not the case. And so we like to really encourage that we talk to unhoused people and that they're able to self-determine what they need to really survive.
Yeah, I was reminded that Clean and Safe does do some decent things. One of the things they do is for some of the jobs that they hire for, which is not a substantial use of their monies, most of it goes to security personnel, some of them armed. But some of the work done by Clean and Safe workers is cleaning up the downtown. And they hire people from the homeless community and from people coming out of addiction. It seems to me we have to, it's important to think about a just transition from this. And those people take pride in actually what they're doing, even if they have reservations about being also commandeered into the sweeps and into throwing away the desperately small life savings of the people on the streets. It seems to me important to make a just transition. In fact, consistent with what you were saying, we would want to hire people from the homeless community to be, I think in the Eastside Industrial Districts, they were called ambassadors, but people to reach out to those who are having trouble in the streets. I mean, their personal troubles, which God knows all of us have, theirs are in public. It seems to me that that kind of offers of transitional help and diffusing tensions, that can be done by homeless people with some amount of apprenticeship. Is that part of the program?
Yeah, I can talk about that a little bit. Obviously, the name is Clean and Safe, and they usually divide it into two portions. There's the cleaning portion and the safety portion, which the safety is the security and police that we've already talked about. And the cleaning portion is through Central City Concern. They do hire unhoused and formerly unhoused people to do the cleaning for Clean and Safe. Right now, we're not really targeting that program. We're more focused on the security. However, there are concerns with that program. Mainly, it goes back to what I was just talking about earlier, kind of that top-down approach, where Central City Concern's really in charge, and they are employing people, but oftentimes it's not a living wage, it's not a union job, it's not meaningful employment, and it can sometimes be very exploitative. And that's not to say those kind of programs can't work. I think a really great example of one of them would be Ground Score, the peer-led initiative, which is led by unhoused people, and they hire people to pick up trash. And it's a lot more horizontal. It comes from the unhoused community and not necessarily through a service provider. And so I think we want to see more of those kind of approaches to it where it's coming from the unhoused community, because some of these top-down approaches are just not what people actually need. So I definitely think there could be changes to the cleaning program that's part of Clean and Safe, and there definitely is already work being done to do that.
This is Cable Radio, your old mole hour. I'm talking to Caitlin Day with the Coalition End Clean and Safe that she has written about and calls dirty and dangerous. That coalition is attempting to end the criminalization of Portland's homeless. We've so far discussed how objectionable it is to have a few very rich downtown property owners running a private police force. Also discussed how their contract is coming up, and also discussed what can replace a criminalization of homelessness policy. That there really is a positive alternative. Caitlin Day, what can and should KBOO listeners be doing?
So in regards to the Clean and Safe contract specifically, most of the listening sessions are over now. However, the contract will go up to vote in September, and there will be more public testimony taken. We're also trying to encourage the city to do even more listening sessions, which we will update people about that. But really the main place to find information right now is we just launched a website. It's called endcleanandsafe.org. So that's a great place to get updates about what's upcoming. But yeah, definitely just keeping an eye out on it. And if there's any time to give public testimony, that's a great way to get involved. And as far as just in general, fighting against criminalization in Portland, there is an opportunity this Thursday, the encampment at Laurelhurst Park. All five city commissioner offices released a letter and said that they're going to sweep. And there is a call for folks to come support that on Thursday, starting at 7 a.m. To support the residents. That can look a lot of different ways. Some people just need help with moving and also may need help as like a buffer from police, because there is going to be police presence there. So definitely showing up at Laurelhurst Park throughout the week will be very helpful.
Yeah, Caitlin Day, thanks so much for talking to us. Thanks for your good work.
Thank you.